Forever Bristol City podcast. The monkey well and truly off our back after 15 attempts. It finished at Ashton Gate this afternoon against Preston. Bristol City 2, Preston North End 0. Joining me are the usual suspects, Dave Fevs, Ian, Mark and myself. Let's go through, as we usually do, quick précis of the game. I'll begin with Dave. I mean, that was a pleasant surprise, wasn't it, really, the way we played, certainly for the greater part of the game.
Yeah, best performance in weeks and weeks and weeks, I think. It's been a long time since we've seen a semblance of a performance like that. But, you know, there was a little bit of a wobble in the second half where they had 15, 20 minutes of pressure without creating much, but we looked a bit leggy at that point. But we came through it and we finished strongly. You know, we were the better side across the whole second half, I'd say, and we were the better side in the first half as well. So, yeah, much better. And, you know, great to get that first win in.
Well, 15 defeats against, or 15 without a win. Let's put it like that. Ian, your quick resume of the game before we go into the detail. It was a much welcome 3 points, but more importantly, it was a performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought we started the game brightly, which in itself is quite unusual for us. Then because we got on the front foot and we pressed. I was slightly surprised with the setup with Palmer playing that wide left in-stepping role that Jamie Patterson can also play. And I thought it may have made us a little bit weak in midfield, but both of the wide players tucked in. 35 minutes, good. The next 10 and then the first 15 of the second half, we got sloppy. Silly things like the goalkeeper, every time he kicked the ball with his left foot, he kicked it complete directly out of play. And for some reason, Dean Holden swapped over Palmer and Adelakin at the start of the second half, and I just couldn't work out why he did that. And eventually, after about 10 minutes, he swapped it back.
Okay.
Palmer picked up a stupid yellow in the second half, but it was a clean sheet, 3 points, and Viner got his first goal. Beautiful dent finish off the
We'll come on to the detail of the action.
4 points off the playoffs, which is where we were at the start of the
game. Points off the playoffs, exactly, and halfway through the season, which we'd have taken that. No. Mark, your thoughts on the game? It was a performance that had been missing, as Dave and Ian both said, for weeks. So it wasn't bad, really, was it?
No, it was a real fantastic defensive performance laid down by the performances of Mawson and Callas, who looked like they played together all season, which we thought we'd never see because of the lengthy injury to Mawson.
No, they did look
Viner
solid
in midfield.
Yeah,
yeah. Viner in midfield was great. He's played every four for Aberdeen. Looked very capable of him in midfield and got a good goal, slightly sliced it but stuck it in the top corner. And I thought we looked decent with 4-4-2, a bit casual in possession, as Ian said, at the start of the second half. And I think that coincided with Casey Palmer, who'd been very good and very lively in the first half, fading. He was clearly, couldn't last the whole game. I think we probably said he got 20 minutes more than he should have done. But with the substitution of Ham Noah Masengo, City came back to life and got a deserved second goal. And I thought it was our resilience and the fact we played more professionally, if you like, on the edge against a team who've done that to us constantly in Preston and played them at their own game, you know, breaking up the play with little fouls in the first half. And
well, we were masters of
and it was nice to beat a team
as they
like
call
that.
It the shithousery today, I think you could say. Let's go back in.
That's the way I put it.
Definitely. I mean, Dave, the starting lineup, any surprises there for you? I think it was Mariappa and Masengo and one other going out compared to the previous team. But the way they lined up, people were a little bit unsure of the layout to begin with, but it soon shaped up to be a 4-4-2 with Viner playing just in front of the back four. Is that how you saw the lineup there?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Semenyo out with some personal issues, so hope everything's all right there. Antoine, if you're listening in, probably got more important things to do than listen to Forever Bristol podcast. Yeah, I think there was that bit of debate first before the game as to whether we might go 3-5-2 and Viner had gone back into a back three. But I think that would have left us with kind of Nagy as our holding midfielder and Adelaken and Palmer as the kind of 2-8s, which I probably wouldn't have done myself. So when they actually lined up in 4-4-2, I was quite happy with that. Interesting, as Ian said, that Palmer started on the left side. He's played quite a bit on the right-hand side for Derby and for Blackburn when he couldn't oust Bradley Dack from the kind of number 10 role. So I thought they'd probably start off that way round, but they didn't. And I thought both Adelaken and Palmer contributed a lot in that really good first half performance.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, Ian, the way we came out from the starting blocks was pretty impressive. I mean, Casey Palmer looked very lively. Adelaken early on showed some good touches. I thought he faded a bit as the game went on, but Diju was wide. But then we got three corners inside the first 8 minutes, and the third of those led to the goal. How did you see that goal from Pham? That's his second goal in successive games, 5 for the season.
Well, it was a very similar goal to ones that people normally score against us. All their defenders got attracted under the ball, and he took a step backwards, and he was unmarked for... I mean, he still had to jump, and it was still a difficult header to put away, but he headed it down perfectly and into the corner. And because teams never put a defender on post these days, it's gone out of fashion. There was nobody there to stop it, and the ball was in the net before the keeper got anywhere near it. So I was pleased with the goal, and I think that obviously it's a fairly obvious thing to say, but the taller your side gets, the more chance you've got from set pieces, defending them in your penalty area and scoring goals in the other penalty area, because shortly before that, Rowe had put in, or after that, Rowe had put in a decent free kick, and Kalos got up and should have headed the ball across the goal and failed to. But we had, funny enough, we had 5 corners in the entire game, and we forced 3 in the first 8 minutes. So perhaps that yeah, tells you that we actually did drop off a bit at the end of the first and the beginning of the second.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wrote down, Mark, I wrote Preston a woeful. The first 20 minutes had nothing. The possession was 61-38 in our favour. 7 shots from us, 2 on target, nothing from them. But then they had the game's first chance their first chance on 35 when Brown got in a good position, and Scott Sinclair saw his flick shot saved by Bentley, one of the few things Bent's had to do. But that was the only real danger, wasn't it? As they did start, though, to get back into the game with possession.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just go back very quickly to our goal before that. Alfie Mawson went into pushed up into central midfield, and he turned the ball over. A great tackle on Daniel Johnson to enable Zizou to have a shot that was deflected over, and then Nash had another shot which got the corner. But yeah, Brown, they came into it towards the end of the half. Brown flicks it round the corner and Sinclair arrived on the ball, but he couldn't get any power, and it went straight into the breadbasket of Dan Bentley. And then we just dropped off a little bit. We started off, we were in the passing lanes all over the pitch. We pressed brilliantly. I thought, oh, crikey, here we go. This is City of 3 seasons ago, you know, under Lee Johnson, looking great. We just need that second goal. And it didn't come. And after expending all that energy, you could appreciate Preston got a little bit of possession. But I think the halftime whistle came at the right time. But it did start off a little in that vein again in the second half.
Yeah, I was going to say that second half, Dave, Preston sort of came at it a bit. I wrote down they carried on where they left off. But their only real chance was when Maguire put in a shot at the corner, resulting corner, Huntington hit the bar. that was about it in terms of any real goalmouth threat from them, wasn't it? Yeah. And they took off Johnson and Barkhuizen, who, according to the commentator, didn't seem too pleased with that. But, you know, we let them have a bit too much of the ball the second half, but they didn't do anything with it, did they?
Yeah, we just probably got a little bit stretched, I think. I think Ian called it as well. I can't remember whether Palmer started the second half on the right-hand side or whether it came from a corner where he'd ended up at kind of the back post and as they filtered out, he ended up on that side because Adelicum was on the other. But yeah, we got a little bit stretched first half. I know Gil Martin mentioned it on commentary quite a few times, but we caught them offside a lot early on, and that's one of Preston's strengths is turning the ball around the corner and getting people like Maguire to run onto it. And we caught him offside quite a bit early on. That set a good tone in terms of our defence being happy to push up. And of course, by pushing up, they condense the space.
Yeah.
Makes much less room for Viner and Nagy in the midfield to have to try and press. And I thought also a feature was the way that Martin and Zizou just dropped back in 10, 15 yards into our half, just to again put pressure on the back of their midfielders so they want an easy pass and made them go back. So I thought it was kind of a really good, you know, I moan for weeks and weeks, am I, that we have too big a distance between front and back. And I thought first half, we got it spot on today. Second half, we just perhaps went a little bit deep and invited them on a little bit. And I think probably 55 minutes was enough for Palmer today. But that kind of 10 or so minutes that Dean took to do it, I thought was probably the time he should have made the change. And Masengo came on and gave us a nice kind of breath of fresh air down the left-hand side. And we saw the game out really, really strong. You know, we looked the side more likely to go and get another goal. You know, the chance they had, was never going to go
and,
in.
And we did, yeah. No, that's true. Ian, the second goal came. We just had a shot saved by Martin, by Iverson in goal. Then another shot a couple of minutes after that. That led to Masengo setting himself up well, as the commentator said, not seeing a shot on him like that. And it was a good cameo display from him. Well, yeah, 20 minutes, that's not more than a cameo really, isn't it? But from that resulting corner, Hunt, Martin, and then it fell to Viner. How did you see that goal of Viner's, Ian?
Well, Jack Hunt's played a speculative ball in. He tried to pick out Chris Martin for the knockdown. Their two defenders have clattered him, but they haven't been able to head the ball very far. So they've half cleared it, or not even half cleared it. Viner's tried to shoot, in all fairness to him, but with his left foot, and it's come off the outside of his left shin, boot. Don't care really, but it was absolutely unsavable. You know, you're not, if you look at that, went absolutely into the side netting, so the keeper would need 10-foot long arms to stop that. And I think we deserved it. It was good to see Naki Wells come on and be chasing everything down, and because I think I feel a little bit sorry for him in the fact that he's been played out of position a lot, but I thought that was good. Masengo plays as an attacking midfielder for France under 23s. So it's no surprise that he's got a shot on him. We just haven't seen it at Ashton Gate, where he's still yet to get a goal or an assist, which for a player of his undoubted ability is a surprise. But hopefully we found a shape now that suits, although I honestly wouldn't play the same team, the same setup versus Norwich. I think we need to be in a better.
Well, we come on to that later. I just
against them, Dave.
Yeah.
What do you think was wrong with our defensive shape today? And I thought it was pretty good.
No, I said against Preston, I think it will work because we were able to press them a lot at the start. But I can't see us keeping that energy up. We couldn't keep it up today until we made the substitutions, and then. I think there'd be too many spaces in midfield against a good team like Norwich. I might be wrong, and I'm not saying I'd prefer to see us keep Viner in that defensive role, perhaps add a centre-back, but still play with the two lads up front.
I didn't think shape was a problem. I thought running that legs a little bit and a little bit of pressure was it.
Yeah, but I don't think, to be honest, Dave, you'd get that chance against Norwich. I think we, you know, if we can play in that way, that's fantastic. But I just think we need to be a little bit more solid and tighter against a team with their ability.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. I think, you know, maybe.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming game against Norwich in a minute, because it's interesting. I'm inclined to agree with what Dave says. I don't see how you can really improve it that much without maybe dropping one of the strikers. You've got players that come on the bench. But Mark, I want to finish one thing for the game. I mean, we said referees are, you know, they've not been in focus so much in these non-crowd attended matches, but the referee, he didn't really cover himself in glory when Darnell Fisher literally gave Masengo a forearm smash when the game was pretty much lost for them. And then he didn't get booked for that. And then he did it again, which should have been a second yellow, and he'd have been off. Did you see that incident? Like 10 minutes ago. He's a dirty so-and-so Fisher, because he's the one who grabbed a player a la Gascoigne star not so long ago, wasn't it? And he got censored for that as well.
Yeah, he had a free game ban for that. I mean, it was tackled well by Masengo near halfway, and he came up and smacked him in near the throat with his forearm. And I mean, he should have been sent off today, and that's why Alex Neil substituted him again. Similarly, for the two, you know, the yellow he got the other week at Deepdale, when he should have been sent off for the second foul against Antoine Semenyo, who was tearing him one on the left-hand side. But I thought Masengo was terrific when he came on. Everything that we saw in that player, you know, bright around the ball, very skillful, you know, good on the turn and drawing fouls. So he didn't enable Darnell Fisher to, you know, to create the overloads with Barcason on the right-hand side. So that, and they had to take him off in the end. He was giving him that much of a time. I just think that we need extra legs in midfield, maybe a little bit more.
No, I think,
bring him back in some for Palmer.
You bring back, well, it's interesting. Let's talk about the lineup, because Norwich, they got another win today. They were 2-0 up against Cardiff after 20 minutes. It's going to be a tough old game next Wednesday up at Carrow Road. But Ian said the shape of the team. I mean, this is my view, and I'll come to Dave first on this. You're not going to change the goalkeeper. You've got, if you play like we did the 4-4-2 again, Callas and Mawson, that is on transfer values, nearly 30 million quid's worth of defender there. And on the bench, you've got two equally good substitutes to come on in terms of Mariappa and Tommy Rowe. I say equally good. But you've got cover there. Okay, we know we haven't got cover necessarily at left back or even right back, but then Mariappa has played on both sides. So in the middle, I mean, I thought Nadge had a good game today. Palmer, if you're going to drop somebody to strengthen up the middle, it would maybe be Adelakan, yeah? And a midfield of Viner, Nadge, Palmer, and another, maybe Backinson, you know, that's got something going for it, hasn't it? Would you agree, Dave? I mean, what would your lineup be that maybe counters Ian's view that we need to be, you know, a little bit more solid in midfield? You take Adelakan out, you do have the capability to be more solid. And then you worry about people with their legs, because Ian said, you know, people are getting tired, they can't keep it up. But you've got Morton on the bench as well that can come on and provide some legs. You've got the youngsters up front. So that's a bit of a long wind. That's a bit of a statement from me there, but I'll come to you first, Dave. What would you change?
I agree.
What would you change on Wednesday? Shut up. Look, I had somebody say to me, Dave, you don't say enough of what your views are. So that's my view, and I'm sort of disagreeing with Ian a little bit. But, you know, what would you change Wednesday night, Dave?
If I was going to make a change, and I think I'd have a long hour to think about it, first of all, I think it would be one of the two wide midfielders today. So either Palmer or Adelakan. I think you could change either one of those up. If you wanted to go a little bit more solid, and, you know, maybe Masengo comes in on either the left or the right of the two central ones and just plays a little bit narrower, you could do that. And I think I'd be really tempted, although I thought they linked up really well today, I'd be really conscious of not burning out either Gigi or Martin, and probably Martin's the one I worry about too much. And I might be really tempted to play Wells, and you know, have just something a little bit more lively if we play on the counter a little bit more and do it that way. But I really kind of quite like the fact that we've played two banks of four today. God, it's boring, isn't it? Doing, you know, 1980s 4-4-2. I thought it worked. I thought it worked quite well today. And I did like that both Martin and Gigi just dropped back in a little bit deeper just to make us a bit more compact. So, yeah. But, you know, Norwich are a really good side, as Ian said. And yeah, they're going to have threats all over. And I think, you know, we just have to be mindful of that. And I think you could do lots of different things out there and still lose. So I think...
Of course.
So yeah,
we just got to play with energy. I mean, okay, what would you change then?
Well, what's interesting?
No, what would you change today? How would you shore it?
Yeah. Well, I'd play 3-5-2. Well, I'd play 3-5-2 with an extra centre back, and I'd leave Adelaken out, and I'd play Palmer as a 10 behind two strikers. I agree with Dave. You might have to look at bringing Wells in for Martin to basically stop the guy getting worn out. A little bit different with Pham because he hasn't played anything like as much football as Martin, but that's what I'd do. But I'd still leave Zach Viner in that defensive midfield role. So I'd play three at the back and more of a diamond in midfield with Viner at the base of the diamond and Palmer at the top of it. If you're going to play what we did today, I'd bring and Semenyo's available because we were without 12 players today, seven of whom are going to be out for the season. I'd have brought in Antoine Semenyo in place of Adelaken. And actually,
yeah, and I guess Semenyo's going to probably, unless we don't know what the personal. Thing is with Semenyo, but he could well be back, couldn't he? Yeah.
Oh, well, I hope so, and good luck to the lad, no matter what the issue is. But, yeah, I think you'd have to play him on performance. I mean, he was going to start today instead of Casey Palmer. Casey Palmer only came in as a kind of last-minute replacement, if you will. So I don't think you could – I'd still like to see Palmer playing in a position where we can get him on the ball more. And I think Semenyo is a better wide player.
What would your thoughts be
looking forward?
Keep the defence the same, but provide the width from the full backs. Something along the lines of what Ian said, that he pinched it as usual. Come back with it.
Yeah, okay.
So no, I mean, I'm really joking. So we play with a diamond midfield to counter their 4-2-3-1 because that's where they're very effective at bringing those midfielders through, Vrančić, Campbell, and especially Buendia. Were very good players. So, yeah, I think I'd stick with Palmer, but I'd bring in Backinson for Adelaken. But play with a back four, but use the full backs to provide the width, but just drop into a 4-4-2. But keep Viner in midfield. I thought he was terrific today, and getting that goal at the end was the icing on the cake. But it was interesting to see that Pukki's out for Norwich. They had Hugel up front today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Hopefully he's out against us. Yeah.
No Timo Pukki because he was injured and Marlon Pack got sent off for Cardiff.
Has he ever been sent off before? That's a bit of a first.
Yes, I think he has. I think he might have been for us. But look, I think we've done the game to death. I mean, man of the match. I marked everybody as a 7 and I gave Viner an 8. And I don't think, you could give... I wrote Rose 7.5 because I thought he was good. But anybody lower than a 7 and anybody better than or equal to Viner, guys? Dave, any thoughts on that? 7 across the board, 8 for Viner.
I had a few, to be honest. I thought Callas was an 8 and I thought Mawson was a 9 and I thought Rowe was an 8. I thought, Mawson was outstanding today. I think, but he would have been very close to get a 10 for me apart from that one mistake he made in the first half, which has been really harsh. And I thought Gigi had a really good game as well. I'd probably give him an 8 today. I thought he looked like a top championship striker today. I thought he was really good. So, yeah, a few won't mark them up today. I don't quite harsh, as you know.
You mark them up a bit. Yeah, I mean, again, sevens and eights. I mean, there's no sixes in there, Tori. Ian, any thoughts with you on the markings? Anybody stand out for you? As I say, it was a good, solid team performance, but anybody you'd say other than Viner that would be worth an eight?
Yeah, I mean, I'd give the back four. You could give Callas and Morse an eight because of that 20-minute spell when Preston were going to get on top. But I'd still say that I thought Viner was man of the match. I'd have probably marked Adelican down to a six because I think he faded in and out the game. He had a better game than he did against Pompey, I must be honest. And he impressed me a bit more. But I still think Antoine Semenyo is, if you've got a choice, is the better wide player. So, you know, but I think if you looked at that overall performance, you've got, you know, when Baker comes back, include Bentley, if you played a back three and a goalkeeper, you've got 35 million quid's worth there at their last transfer value. So, you know, they all be good, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, it should be. They should be. Okay, Mark, here we are, halfway through the season, 23 games, 36 points. If we say 75 should get in the playoffs, we've only got to get three more points in the second half of the season than what we got in the first. And if you look at this season, the way it's come, we had that 4-game winning start, which altered the distribution a bit. But I'll come to each of you, but Mark first. Are we really in a position where we can make an assault on the playoffs now? And before we talk about transfers, because I don't think there's going to be anybody coming in, to be honest, but Mark, do you think we can get those 39 points in the second half of the season that would guarantee playoffs? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's possible. It's just keeping... Yes, I can hear that. It's just keeping players fit, which has been the problem. But the good thing is now we're going to get players back. Hopefully, we'll see Joe Williams before the end of the season. However, unlikely, we might see Liam Walsh. We got the likes of Baker coming back. I think defensively we're in very good shape as long as those players stay fit. But the problem is going to be at the other end is scoring goals and creating them. So we got to hope that Casey Palmer, who's probably the best passer of the ball that we got at the moment in the team, gets fitter because he really faded out. But I think that he didn't, being a player who didn't expect to play today, and I would have given him a six on his second half performance just because of his fitness. You know, he can improve his fitness and plays a little bit further forward where he's not going to get caught in possession. If he gets his head up, then he could put us in, you know, he can supply the ammunition for the likes of Gigi and Martin and Wells. But it's going to be about fitness. We've got as good a chance as any of getting the sixth spot, I think. That's what's up for grabs, because I think you've got the three relegated teams, and then you've got to look at the likes of Brentford, who are probably a shoo-in on their squad and the way that they play, and then maybe a perm one from Reading Reading or Swansea, who look good as well.
There's probably, if you took the relegated side, there's probably another 10 clubs that would say if they put a run together, they can get it. I mean, let me come to you next, Dave. Dave, if we say on the injuries front that we don't get anybody in, but we get back Patterson, Baker, and Walsh, right? So that's writing off, we could say Sessegnon maybe as well, but that's writing off Joe Williams at all this season. So we get nobody coming in, but we get those players coming back. Is there enough in the squad with some of the youngsters that have had a taste of first team experience? Is there enough just to get three more points more than we've got in a first half of the season that has been a bit in and out? What do you think?
I think, of course, there is. It won't be easy, though. I think beneath those top four or five clubs, there's a batch of clubs trading points every week, and none of them are really picking up loads. So it's just the nature, I think, of the beast that is going to be inconsistent in there. But yeah, we could do. I think those players will make a difference if they come back. I think you've only got to look at what happens, you know, take the last two games. One top player coming back in means one of our worst players not playing. That's Mawson coming in. And that lifts the whole level of the squad. And if you can get another one or two that improve at that top end of our first team, then it makes a big difference. And I think that's what we've missed with, you know, your Vimans and your Pattersons being out as well, that extra bit of quality. So we'll see. I think from a squad point of view, if we can get the two or three of those back, that'll be good. I think that's posted up on the text. I think we might have to look for a left back as well in the window, whether that's a loan signing or not. But I think it would be a big ask to ask Tommy Rowe to keep playing every week and put in performances like he did today, because I thought he was excellent today. With Prings out for the foreseeable, and probably Jay De Silva as well. So that might be somewhere they look to strengthen.
A weakness. Well, we come on to transfers, injuries and contracts in a moment. Ian, 23 games, 36 points, 23 to go. Probably won't be any points on Wednesday, but can we get another 39 points, which is only three more, you know, than what we've got in this first half, on the basis that nobody comes in, but we get Baker, Patterson and Walsh added to that squad that we've got there at the moment?
Yes, we can. We need to get 1.7 points per game for the rest of the season to do that. We're getting just under what we've got, just under 1.6. So it's not a million miles. It's not like we've got to get, you know, 2.2 points a game or something like that. It all depends on one thing, injuries.
Yeah.
Because we've got, there are four players that we will see again this season. There are seven that we won't. Now, I don't know if you want to talk about injuries now, but we had 12 players out today, a few of whom you would say would be shoo-ins. So, you know, that's the thing that's going to determine whether we do it. And hopefully, if it is down to bad luck, and I don't think it is, but if it is down to pure bad luck and our luck changes, then, yeah, we could easily do it. And I don't think we'll get a better opportunity than this season, because there aren't any outstanding teams. There isn't a Leeds. There isn't a Wolves in this division this season, and we've got a great chance
Even Bournemouth went down to Luton today, didn't they? And they, you know, I was interested in their goal. I haven't seen it, but it was a combination of that, is it Connick and the guy with the double-barreled name. They look pretty useful, and they go down to the Vitality Stadium and pick up all three points. Now, who's to say that we wouldn't go up to Carrow Road and do something mad like that? I mean, if you look at transfers, there's obviously no money about. There were rumours at the beginning of the week that Pham might have gone off to Borough, who lost at home to Birmingham today 1-0. Do you think, Dave, that maybe Neil Warnock might come in with a cheeky bid, and that's the only thing that we would see sparking some credible transfer activity?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a lot. I think we've done the majority of it by bringing the loan signings back. Unless someone goes out the door, then I don't think we'll be spending much. It's funny, I actually, you know, after today, I probably think that Pham might sign a contract. And it's probably the first time I felt that in months. And I think we're seeing the last couple of games that probably the best we've seen of him in a long while as well. We're playing a little bit more quickly into him as well, haven't we? And I think Martin up front have linked quite well as well. Two big men up front, not always a natural combination, but yes, looking all right.
But do you think the way Pham's playing at the moment, do you think he knows that he's in a little bit of a shop window of, yeah, we got, what, 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks left in the transfer window? Do you think for Pham, it's a chance to show what he can do to maybe the Fenerbahçe's in Turkey if he went over there, or maybe, you know, I can't. Would we sell him to any of our rivals? I guess if the price is right, we would, wouldn't we?
Yeah, you might be right on that. I guess the slightly cynical view, but it wouldn't be surprise me either if he's thinking about his financial side as well, however much he loves the club. He hasn't signed the contract yet, so no. I think we'll all sit here and reserve judgment on whether he's going to go or not. But
if you've got another change...
Today's my biggest inkling he might stay, but...
Yeah, and if you got another, I won't say 10, but if you got another between 8 and 10 goals between now and the end of the season, and they made the difference between the playoffs and not, he probably might even stay on after that anyway. But okay, let's come on to the hot. I don't think we need to say too much about transfers because that is all speculation. But the one thing that isn't speculation is injuries. I mean, Ian and all of us, we've been saying about, well, you can get some bad luck, but this seems to be a little bit more than bad luck. And lo and behold, Cameron Pring comes back. He's played 17 games for Portsmouth, not missed a day's training, and he pulls a hamstring. Oh, it's not a pull, it's a tear.
Ian,
say your piece on injuries. We should be having, if I was Lansdowne, you'd be having an audit of what the hell's going on. What can these things, what is causing this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, my point on the injuries, Dave, is that we've had they're all muscle injuries, apart from De Silva, which looks like a repeat of the injury. So it's the same, basically the same injury on the same leg as last season. So was he properly healed? Is it a reoccurrence? We don't know. But I think we've lost 7 players for the season, and that doesn't include Brunt, who left.
Yeah,
who is also injured out for the season. So if you look in terms of out for the season, you've got Voyman, Williams, Watkins, De Silva, Oppie Edwards, Callum O'Dowda and Cameron Pring. Now, I haven't heard anything from City about the scan that Callum went off for, but if his hamstring injury and Pring's hamstring injury is the same as Baker's, if Baker comes back and plays on the 26th, by the 26th of January, he'll have been out for 5 months to the day. So we've only got 15 weeks left to play the rest of the season. So if you've got a 5-monther, you're out. And the ones that will come back, there's only 4, I believe, that will come back, and they should all be back at the start of Feb. From what's been said, and that's Baker, Patterson, Sessegnon, who Dean Holden said would return to first team training at the end of this month, and Liam Walsh. So that gives you your 4 that are back. But like I said, we need to be very lucky with that, and I agree with what Dave said earlier on. We, unless somebody like Riley Towler can play left back, then we need to look at bringing one in, because we've got 3 left backs at the club and 2 of them are injured.
Yeah. We're going to have strength in that middle though, aren't we? As you say, if Baker comes back, you'd have, if you say the regular 2 now, Callas and Mawson, then you've got Moore, Mariappa and Baker as backup, and even Viner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got... We're pretty solid there, aren't we, really? And then if Sessegnon's back at the beginning of Feb, that's a cover for Hunt, or Hunt's a cover
for
Sessegnon.
And you've got, don't forget, you've got Riley Towler, who's also a big left-sided centre-back that hasn't had his chance yet. So, I'm not... Where we haven't got cover, blatantly, is left-back. And it's not even a case of you can play somebody there that's got a decent left foot, like O'Dowda, because he's out as well.
Yeah.
So we need to bring somebody in. I believe, unless there's, as I say, unless Riley Towler can play there, and there's been no sign shown of that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next topic, which is hot at the moment. I think I'll come to Mark first on this, because Dean was questioned. I read the transcript of Gregor's interview, and he pushed Dean quite hard on a number of points and got the usual diplomatic answers. But contract negotiations being parked for a while, seven players out of contract in the summer, all first teamers. Mark, is there a bigger plan afoot here in the sense that, you know, there's going to be a brave new world of football player contract negotiations going forward from summer 21 because of COVID. What's your view on this apathy, it seems, to tie down players that would be very much first team regulars?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's so much apathy to tie them down as players not wanting to sign them. I mean, Preston have had players who, you know, want away players like Pearson and Johnson, who were looking to sign pre-contract agreements with other sides. What can the club do? If they make them good firm offers, do you do what Gary Johnson used to do and you know, like to Bradley Orr and, you know, chuck him out the squad until he signs a new contract? You got something like Pham, who for us now is probably irreplaceable in what he can do at the back, you know, from corners and in his work up front, and the fact that he's our main goal-scoring threat. He can't go. And I'm trying to think the other players who are out of contract. I know Liam Walsh, we triggered another year on his contract. Is Jack Hunt out of contract as well?
There's nine altogether. And Liam Walsh, we triggered that one-year extension a year ago.
So you get we can trigger a one-year extension.
There's nine players. There's Pham, Jackan, Marley Watkins, Adelakan, Rennie Gilmartin, Tommy Rowe, Jamie Patterson, Nathan Baker, and Liam Walsh, all out of contract. All of those players can sign a prenup. It's not that, a pre-contract agreement with a club that's abroad. And all of them will be out of contract in June. So that's where we are with those players. And at least one, two, three, four, five or six of those are people who'd be in my first 11.
Yeah.
You could see the likes of Baker getting another club differently, but players who are currently injured, do other clubs want to take a risk looking at them now? And the other thing is, we don't know how long COVID's going to go on, travel restrictions. It's a risk for players right now with COVID as well as clubs, isn't it? Moving abroad or moving, full stop.
Well, so it's a risk. I think the pendulum is swinging in the favour of the clubs at the moment, to be honest, because I do think that, you know, football finances, whichever way you look at it, you know, I do think we'll be back in the ground for the start of the season. But Dave, I mean, do you think there's just this big sea change going on with football finances? And there is, and a couple of threads on OTIV alluded to this as well. There's almost like let's wait and see what happens. And because we are financially more stable than a lot of clubs in football total, yeah, we might be able to get the pickings of other clubs without having to pay transfer fees. Yeah, players don't sign. They don't attract a fee. What do you think, Dave? Do you think there's a bigger plan afoot here that we're just not in, we're not in touch with it because we don't know. We never know anything. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's probably a shift of balance, isn't there, in terms of, you know, players having all the power to clubs maybe getting some back. The whole COVID situation coupled with Brexit as well, because that's an impact on picking up cheap foreigners, that suddenly goes out the window as well, means that, yeah, I think it's all a bit of an unknown at the moment. But I would.
It's a bit what? Sorry, Dave, I missed that. It's a bit of a
bit of an unknown. I think if we take an experienced player like Jack Hunt or Nathan Baker, for example, who are out of contract, I don't believe they'll go to another club who will pay them more than they're probably on here at the current point. That's not to say City are going to offer them what they're currently on here, you know.
Correct.
I think people, players like that, be starting to just kind of think about, actually, am I better off staying where I am? You know, they might say, well, actually, I'll take a lower wage, but I'll get a little bit of a signing on fee. But I don't think there'll be big signing on fees going out there either. So I think some of them might be thinking, I'm better off the devil I know. But you know, it's all speculation from me at the moment. I think, you know, players like Marlon Watkins is probably going to...
Well, that's right, because it's interesting. You mentioned Jack Hunt as an example. Yeah, you mentioned Jack Hunt as an example. Yeah, use Jack Hunt as an example. He hasn't even been offered a contract, right? I guess. We don't think so, because they've not had any conversations. And if you're Jack Hunt, I mean, let me hear me out on here. If you're Jack Hunt and you're on £8,000 a week, right, say, these are all say figures, you're on £8,000 a week, and you might, pre-COVID, you might have thought, well, I reckon I'm worth £10,000 a week, yeah? But in actual fact, COVID's come, come along, and you're on £8,000 a week at the moment, where else are you going to go that might improve on that? And Bristol City say, hey, Jack, we value you, and we could say this at the end of May, we value you, Jack, we're going to pay you £6,500 a week, 3-year contract, or 2-year contract with a 1-year option, so 3 years, yeah?
Yeah.
It's just like normal business, isn't it? You'd be minded. Well, you'd be minded. I mean, Ian, you know what
Dave,
it's like with contracts and...
Dave, can I just come back on that? Go on. Ian has his say.
Yeah.
Jack Hunt's for actually... I know I'm out of contract. My agent hasn't sat down with a club at the moment. I'm cool with it as it currently stands. I guess there'll be a point as we roll into February and March where he might not be quite so cool about it, but you hope the club will have that conversation. But he's one of the players who's, you know, seems happy to be, you know, whatever will be as it currently stands. Sorry, your turn.
Yeah, no. You make a valid point. I mean, Ian, you know what it's like. I mean, I do it for a living, negotiating contracts with people moving around, and you employ people and you've been employed yourself, you know. Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush sometimes, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it does depend on the circumstances, and you are right about the financial effect. Leave aside everything else, but the financial effect that COVID is having on the game for everybody. It's not as bad for Premier League sides because apart from, well, not even for clubs that don't get massive crowds like Burnley, they still get massive amounts of television money. And the ones that come down, Bournemouth, have sold a lot of players, got a lot of money, and they've also got the parachute money. So them, it should affect less, although, in fairness, they will have higher wage bills. But I think we have to make a choice. And there needs to be a bit of a strategy around this. So we need to say, right, I mean, what's the end game? If the end game is Premier Division football, then we need to speculate some more. Now, that's easy for me to say because it's not my money. But Bristol City, for the avoidance of doubt, haven't got any money. But Steve Lansdowne's got loads. Now, if Steve Lansdowne thought, right, if he's having the sort of conversation we're having and thinking, well, we don't have to be brilliant in the second half of the season and we can reach the playoffs. And when you get to the playoffs, it's a lottery, and especially with no fans in the ground. So he might think, well, yeah, okay, go out and get a left back and a creative midfield player on loan.
Well, you could do that. You take a creative midfield player. Like, what about Conor Hourihan? He's available for transfer. You know, and you can go out and go. This is the whole thing of going for it with something that's bold. If you took on a player for 13 weeks, that's all it is, at those higher wages, that's better than going out. Well, not better. It's less risky than going out and signing somebody for a £2 million fee with a 3-year contract. You can still, you know, you can go for it. Yeah, let's say do something ridiculous, like we got 3 points at Carrow Road and then we won one of the other matches.
Derby
we got,
did.
You know, we're going to be in a very good position. Yeah. But are you advocating, Ian, that, you know, we should be a bit bolder in the transfer market?
Yes, I am. I think we may not be in this position next season or the season after. So we're in a place where I think it would be speculate to accumulate, particularly on loans, because as you've said, you only got the commitment for the next 15 weeks. So I think go for that. We're not talking about bringing in 7 or 8 players. We're talking about bringing in, I would say, a maximum of 3 and possibly 2.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But I think we do need a creative midfielder and we do need a left back. So that would be the 2. I mean, before today, I would have said we probably need a defensive midfielder. But if we can keep all those players fit, then Zach Viner can stay there and do a really good job. So, you know, you're looking at a couple of players. Now, Hourihan, who's been spoken about, is also left-sided, good at set pieces and gets the odd goal. Yeah. So what? There's nothing not to like if he would come. And Villa might decide they want to hold on to him, but they're talking about bringing Ross Barkley being fit and bringing him back in, and he's not getting fantastic game time there. So that would be the type of player. And I think it would give the fans and the squad a lift. Yeah.
Well, that's a very good point you've made there, is giving the fans a lift, because, you know, we feel a little bit downtrodden, a little bit unloved by the lack of engagement, I would say, with the club. And obviously the person at the forefront of all this, he celebrates 5 years of official, he'd been employed as a consultant prior to that, but we celebrate 5 years of having Mark Ashton at the helm. Dave, do you think Ashton is aware of the disenchantment prior to today's good performance, because it's all about what the players do on the pitch? Do you think he's aware of that? And as Ian's just said, signing a couple of players on loan when our tails are up and we're potentially doing well, that we do need lifting. Do you think he's aware of that? Or do you think he's got the bunker mentality, which is why we haven't heard from him for 3 months?
I think both. I think he's awfully aware of it. And that's why he's in the bunker, because he's under pressure and he don't want to come out.
Yeah.
I think it'd be massively coincidental if after today's result he actually does speak to, I think Jeff Twentyman's trying to get someone from the club, and I guess he's talking John Lansdowne and Mark Ashton to come and talk to Sound of the City on Monday, because it's been deathly silent from the club. I think I saw a tweet from Gregor a couple of weeks ago saying he'd asked the club for an interview, and he's not had a response as well. So I think that kind of speaks volumes at the moment. The club are kind of hiding a bit, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's good halfway through a transfer window.
No. What do you think? Go on, carry on there.
No, it's fine. Nothing really wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, what do you think? Do you think the club are hiding in terms of their interaction with the fans? Phantom Flamfinger. Do you think they're hiding? Do you think they could be doing better?
I mean, look at the world we're in. You know, where there's zero income, match day income, because of COVID. And if they were honest and said, well, you know, because of the income situation, again, in financial fair play, it's going to be a problem, and we might have to soldier on. But if, like Lansdowne said at the start of the season, we want the manager who's going to take us to the next level. If they really think they're going to take the club to the next level, they got to give Dean Holden and the coaches the opportunity to do that. And means having, you know, another left back, another central midfield player, and maybe another forward if you're going to loan somebody out. So equip the manager with the tools to do that if you really mean it, or at least say, we can't, you know, we haven't got, you know, because of COVID, we haven't got the expenditure to, you know, to bring these players in, and we'll just have to get on with it. But I mean, Mark Ashton, he's always struck me, he comes over like a slick, he's a politician, isn't he? I mean, he always sounds good, very, very, you know, from a PA perspective. But it's the same old thing, oversold and under-delivered. And if they really want to deliver and have an assault on that top six, give Dean Holden the means to take the club forward.
No, good point.
That's my answer.
Good point. Final one from you tonight, Ian. Could the club be doing better? What would lift the fans? As I say, the performance today was better. You know, that's been the main bugbear. It was a decent performance. Can't get away from that. Wasn't the full 90 minutes, but it was a clean sheet, 2-0 against a bogey team of ours. So the fans are happy today. What can Mark Ashton do to celebrate his fifth anniversary at the club that would raise the fans' hopes and expectations, or pacify them a little bit, pacify their disappointments?
Well, I think he could make a couple of loan signings, and that's on the basis that no one leaves. So if Pham leaves, he needs to be replaced, either, you know, with a quality striker, loan, perm, doesn't matter. But he could do that. He could come out and talk about the strategy moving forward and why these players are all out of contract. We've got 9 out. And I'm not overly bothered, with great respect to him, if René Gil-Martin, who's a good summariser, and Marley Watkins are out of contract. And you could also argue about Nathan Baker. But my view on that, for example, is that if you're going to put if you're going to let Nathan, you don't want to give Nathan Baker a new contract. A year ago, you sell him when he's fit.
Yeah.
That's what you do, because then you're getting some value. Now, whether you can sell him for twice what you bought him for or half what you bought him for makes no difference, because I think you're better off selling them than letting them walk away from the club for nothing as a businessman. Okay. And I think he needs to give the fans an idea of what the strategy is moving forward. And it's no good saying, well, we're going to try and get in the Premier League, because that's a little bit like me saying, I'm going to try dating Beyonce. All right, then, Ian. How much chance do you think you've got of doing it? And what's the strategy?
Carol Vorderman. You
well, Carol, yeah, but, well, I got to be honest.
She said, Ian, she said you never returned her calls. So I'm sorry. It's, well, it's off, to, isn't it?
Well, I had to knock her back. It's a terrible show. There you go. But no, but that's the thing. I want to know what the picture is. If he went, and I wouldn't agree with this, but if he stood up and said, look, we're not spending any more money. We're going to bring in lads from the academy and we're going to try and get promoted with 11 Bristolians. How's that sound? I'd say it sounds mad, but at least we know least what's happening. And I can either...
And
I can buy or not buy a season ticket based on how great I think that strategy is. But at the moment, we seem to be blowing in the wind a little bit. We're not really having a clear sense of direction.
Yeah.
And it all started.
I think you make a good point, guys. It's just up
with the over promise
over
and over
the hour.
Under delivery.
We'll be back on Wednesday.
On the manager.
Is it a lunchtime one on Wednesday, isn't it, David?
No, we're doing it. This week it's 6 o'clock kickoff against Norwich, so we're going to do it at 8:30. All right, so those that are listening.
Oh, 8:30.
I'm going to be on squad rotation, Dave, on that one. You can bring in someone else.
Oh, you're going to miss. You're not going to be around for the Norwich game, no? Okay, no, that's no, fine. No. Well,
I'm going to give Beyonce a call in that case. Ian.
Next week. Guys, look, guys, it's been good to hear your views. Thanks to everybody who's listened live. Another good live audience here, which is really great. We've gone over the 10,000 in downloads since we've been doing this. So you do the maths. That's typically about 300 downloads per episode, which, considering we're new kids on the block in some respects, is pretty damn good. Dave, Mark, Ian, thanks as always for your contribution. And thanks to everybody that's put in text messages, and Fevs has been replying to some of them because I can't manage to do too many things with my hands. Least of all, I think I need a decent headphone and earpiece and what have you. So apologies if there's been any breaks in the sound. But guys, thanks. And contributing to performance. Thanks a lot to everybody.
Yeah, stay safe, everyone.
Good evening, all. Stay safe, stay well.
Cheers, all. We beat Preston.
God bless. Bye bye.